Today, I'm talking about the temple and the word. And this is the continuing story of God's people under Zerubbabel, returning home to rebuild the temple that was broken down. This story also includes the later arrival of Ezra upon the scene. He returns with up to 2,000 more exiles to be part of the rebuilding, but not of the temple this time, but of the rebuilding of God's word into the people's hearts. There are parallels in this story of Israel experiencing that reset of their place as God's people in the earth, and the church today experiencing a reset as a witness for God in the earth. Their world had come to a standstill, just as the world we live in today is in crisis and has also come to a standstill. However, there's no standing still in God's purposes to rebuild and restore his people and to take them forward into his purposes. God moved the hearts of secular world rulers in that day. There were three kings involved. There was Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes. They all took over that nation of Babylon and they moved history. And Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah were the benefactors of these people's influence and endorsement to allow and even encourage and help the Jewish people to return home. He used these unlikely allies to fulfill his promise of restoration for his people. Now, this is how God moves, and I believe we should expect to see this kind of thing happening today, as God moves upon the hearts of leaders. It says in Proverbs chapter 21, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." And it was not only in the kings, but it speaks about the officers and the bureaucracy, who were often quite indifferent. But these were the ones whose hearts were moved by God to bring about his purpose. That means that for us, it's a time to be ready for an encounter with unlikely sources of blessing in your own personal life, in our corporate life, together as church and as in this nation. And this is the wonder of God, who really is working all things together for the good of those who are called by his name. So I believe we're living in times for a new kind of expectation of the unexpected. These are times to acknowledge God's sovereignty and mercy. So getting back to the story, we left it with Zerubbabel last week, having laid the foundation of the temple. But there was no real temple yet, and there was no real city, and there were no walls. And that meant that they were open to enemy attack, and they had to learn how to deal with that. And I spoke about how stories of the glory of Solomon's temple began to breed discouragement, that they could never rebuild this temple as glorious as that one. But it was now time to rebuild the temple. And the prophets Zechariah and now Haggai, he comes in as a prophet as well. They begin to encourage Zerubbabel to get on with the work. It took many years to complete the building because there was the continual harassment of the enemies, and as yet there were no walls. But it's God's heart to see his people dwelling together in unity, where his presence is, residing with them and within their hearts. He wanted his temple built. That was his home. Today his temple is made up of people, and we are called the living stones. But the prophet Haggai starts speaking quite firmly and soberly to the people about their priorities. You see, they'd been there for a while. They'd set up the altar of sacrifice. They'd celebrated some feasts and Sabbaths. They'd laid the foundation, the cornerstone and the plumb line. But they'd been preoccupied with giving more meaning to their own personal affairs instead of the will of God. See, they'd come out of captivity, but they hadn't yet become unified as a people in God. And so they were going after their own things, instead of the will of God as being central for the meaning of their individual and corporate lives. God's life matters. And here's what Haggai says in Haggai chapter 1. Consider your ways, says the Lord. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I might be glorified, says the Lord. In other words, that I might be expressed on display. That's what glorified means. Then he speaks to them about what's happening in their lives and their expectations. And he says, and because he's saying this to them because they were aiming low. God wants us to aim high. And he says to them, you looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. It is not just about houses. It is being busy in one's own preoccupation of the things of life, the stuff of life. Where there isn't a great goal to aim for. You might say, well, I've got some good goals. That's fine, but I'm talking about the highest goal, what God has purposed and what he's purposing right now, especially when he gets our attention and stops the world so that everything's at a standstill. This is a special time we're living in. But this rebuke that Haggai brings to God's people becomes an encouragement to them. Because he turns it around and he tells them that he does desire to be with them and he will be glorified in them. And that means that their lives will express his life among them in an even greater way than he has in their past history. He tells them in this scripture I'm just about to read to you that the glory of this latter house will be greater than that of the former house. He wanted them to identify as his people, his nation, and not scattered in a foreign land with a foreign culture. They were coming home, their home, and his home. So this scripture is powerful. It's an encouragement for them, and it's an encouragement for us now. It tells them that all the nations will be shaken, but they will be provided for. Let me read it to you in the next chapter, Haggai chapter 2. Who's left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declared the Lord. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord. So here we have Haggai encouraging Zerubbabel that God is with him in this work, just as the Holy Spirit is telling us that he's with us in this critical time. His Spirit is in our midst. God is bringing his people back into a rebuilding of their unity based upon the unity of the faith. And the unity of the faith is simply the expression of the life of Christ being lived out individually and corporately, wherever we are, and whatever the cultural or traditional background is that we have, or bring into the mix. And there's a picture of the relational unity among us in the picture of the stones that have to become cut to shape for the temple. And they had huge quarries. They had a huge mountain, which was a quarry to cut into. But the stones in the temple had to be shaped first. And the stabilizing wall was made of stones. They were big, but they were cut out and shaped at the rock quarry. And they were slid down with oxen on sleds and brought into place to fit together without any mortar in between. Here were these huge slabs, stones for the temple, and sometimes as they were placed in, they had to rub the rough edges off each other, stone against stone. And that's probably just like us in managing our own relationships with each other. God has a lot of work to do, you know. He put them to work on those stones. But I think he's at work upon us too, taking us out of one huge rock structure as big as a mountain and fitting us together. We come out of that mountain, that rock, Christ, and we get shaped by the Holy Spirit to take our place next to each other in Christ. That's what God is preparing for us, I believe, in these days. The rebuilding of the temple with his living stones and the cutting and shaping of our lives that we fit together. It's going to be fun. Yes, well, the Lord will do it in us. And we will submit to that by his grace and be shaped into the persons that he wants us to be. And then he says in that scripture, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. That's his message to all the world, that he is the possessor of the heavens and the earth, not the nations ruled by dictators who covet the wealth of other nations to wield more corrupt power in their oppression of millions upon millions of people. And that's been happening for centuries. In fact, last century, the 20th century, we saw hundreds of millions of people oppressed and destroyed because the nations ruled through coveting wealth and wielding corrupt power. But God is preparing a people who will express his justice and mercy and blessing. Not takers, but givers. Not oppressive, but merciful. As I said before, Haggai tells Zerubbabel that he will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and that he will shake all nations. So all of this work of rebuilding his people together to contain and to express his presence is being done in the midst of upheaval all over the world. And that is our experience at this very time. There is a special grace upon this coming together of a living temple. There is a grace for us to be in supportive prayer for one another and the healing of relationships and reconciliation. This is something that I believe God will give us grace and faith for at this time. When you think of all the ones that you know that have become kind of lost or distracted on the journey, given up hope, now's the time for a coming together and a healing emotionally and spiritually, relationally. Scripture said, remember that beautiful part of the scripture that said, I will fill this latter house with greater glory than the former house. And that's the expression of the life of Jesus within. Let's have an expectation of the unexpected. Be ready to be surprised by the bigness of God. And now let's talk about the rebuilding of the word. That was the temple and the stones. So after a few years, after the building of the temple, which took a few years as well, Ezra leads the second of three waves of returning exiles. Even though the temple was being restored and God was with his people, it was time for them to be challenged by the word that would reap something in their life. You had to sow something that would reap personal growth to their lives, spiritual growth, because by the time Ezra arrived, the people had again fallen into sin and allowed the values of the godless culture around them. I'm not talking about the one back in Babylon. I mean, that was bad enough, 70 years of that. And they didn't really know how to find their spiritual compass at all. But they did what they were told to do. They set up the order of sacrifice. They celebrated the feasts. The priests brought order into their celebrations, and they laid the foundation, and now they've laid the temple. But what Ezra found was that after so many years of Of this, there was still a need for them to be lined up into the alignment of God, another kind of plumb line. They'd been influenced in their values, and their consciences had been corrupted. That's what happens. It's like sin isn't sin anymore. You call good bad and bad good. And the Word of God was the only thing that could renew their conscience. So Ezra preached God's Word and the people repented. There were close to 2,000 people who went up from Babylon with Ezra for this particular mission, and he chose many of them specially because he trusted them for their heart, for this mission. So the next phase in the rebuilding of God's people coming home is the inner rebuilding of their faith and faithfulness through his word. And this also speaks to us today. It's one thing to be brought together as a people, have relationships healed, have the stones placed together, have a place in our fellowship with one another, in our prayer, in our relationships, that contains the presence of God, that becomes his home, his house. But this now is another rebuilding. This is the inner rebuilding of the faith and faithfulness that comes through his word. And so I believe God's saying to us today, I want you to live more deeply, but more simply in my word to you. Paul told Timothy to study, to sow himself and to give himself to the word. And he said, not just to sow himself into the word, he said, show yourself approved, confident that you are correctly dissecting the word of God. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He had to study and be confident. That doesn't mean going to university to do this or even Bible college. It means you read the word and you let the word read you. You give it time and you'll find that you've read it, a particular verse, and you see something you haven't seen before. You go away and you think about it, you pray about it, and you come back and say, I want to look at that again and get that into myself more deeply. Lo and behold, you come back and you find that thing that you found. And what does God do? He says, oh, I'm just going to take you another layer deeper. You're ready for something else now. Do you know, I don't think you can ever get to the bottom of God's word. You keep dissecting and dissecting, and it keeps multiplying and flourishing, and you start to sow something that reaps revelation in your life. Let me read to you from Ezra chapter 7 about Ezra. Ezra was skilled in the law of Moses that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given, and the king granted him all that he asked, and he succeeded, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Now that's all they had, the law. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ in the scriptures through the apostolic and prophetic word of God that has come to us, and the Holy Spirit to reveal to us who God is to us. And what a wonderful thing to have grace for upon us at this particular time. And Ezra, it says, gets favor from the Persian king's officers and counselors, so that people of influence were willing to make a way for him to do what God had said. And God also put others who had a heart for God's word to become part of Ezra's vision. That's why he brought certain people with him that he knew had a mind and a heart for this, to see the word of God renewed in people's hearts. I believe we are amongst people that have that very heart and mind. And God will allow a way to be made for that word to get out there. The Persian king's officers and counselors, you think, what on earth would they have any interest in that for? Well, I don't know if they had a lot to do about it. I think God did something and just opened doors. And the ones that Ezra brought with him are actually described, as you look in the chapters, Ezra chapter 7 and 8 and so on, you see the description. They were people of insight and faithfulness and discretion. And again, we see God working on the hearts of those who don't know him, these officers of the king. God works on the hearts of strangers, if you like, to God, but maybe not for long. And they do that opening of doors for God's word to make its way to wherever God sends it. It's God that sends it. We don't always decide where we're going to take the word. We find ourselves in a place and God says, here's a word, here's the place, here's the time, where's your voice? So the word makes its way to wherever God sends it, and it does its work and it does not return empty. Let me read to you again from Ezra chapter 7. And he's encouraged now and he says, blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who put such a thing as this into the heart of the king to beautify the house of the Lord that's in Jerusalem, and who extended to me his steadfast love before the king and his counselors. So God had given Ezra favor, and before all the king's mighty officers, I took courage, for the hand of the Lord my God was on me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. I've told you about them. Sounded like a good bunch of people. Well, I'm just so blessed that I'm amongst a great bunch of people that I know are going to see God make a way. And also we see in that scripture that we read, Ezra, he declared his faith in God's protection over him and all that accompanied him. Let me read it to you. Here's in the next chapter, Ezra chapter 8. And he says, he really opens his heart up to us, Ezra. I love the guy. He says, for I was embarrassed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king that the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who abandon him. So he thought, I don't really need to ask the king for protection. I've got God with me here. I don't think you can get overconfident when God actually speaks to you and tells you. But he was gracious, but just embarrassed. So what he did, he said, so we fasted and implored our God for this, and he listened to our entreaty, and the gracious hand of our God protected us and saved us from enemies and bandits along the way. So we arrived safely in Jerusalem, where we rested for 3 days. I don't think that's much of a rest, but good on them. So this was a different kind of building that Ezra was asked by God to do. This was a time of the revival of the power of God's word coming alive in the hearts of his people. This was a time of divine protection from the enemy, and it will be the same for us as we fight a good warfare. This is a time for us to join ourselves in prayer for all who believe and trust in God, that he will revive the hearts of the humble and the spirits of those who have been oppressed. Pray first that he will revive our hearts with the grace and faith to be the Ezras, the Ezra company, who make way for God's word to flourish in his house, his home, his temple of living stones, and to go out into our world around us. God bless you all. Amen.